you already know. All right, we're in Jeremiah, the 17th chapter. Tell me what you know about Jeremiah and what you know about what's happening here in this book. What do you know about Jeremiah? I don't know. I'm just being honest. I don't know. I'm not going to say yes or no because I don't know. He's mainly known for as being the weeping prophet, right? Why was he weeping? Why did Jeremiah spend so much time? He wrote Lamentations. He's the weeping prophet. Why was he crying so much? Say it again. He had a broken heart. Why was his heart broken? Good answer. I like that. She says, I don't know. You're supposed to tell us, Pastor. Why was his heart broken? Because nobody would listen to him. As far as we can tell, you know, throughout the book, the two books that God used him to write, no one ever really responded positively to Jeremiah. No recorded converts, so to speak. No one jumping onto Jeremiah. There's a couple people a couple times come to Jeremiah's defense, but when you read in between the lines, they're doing it for nefarious reasons and not for their own, you know, not for good purposes. So Jeremiah wrote much of the book from prison. From prison. And anybody know why Jeremiah was put in prison? They didn't like his message. That's exactly right. They were trying to get him to stop preaching what God was telling him to preach. And so let's throw him into prison. Let's threaten him. Let's do all these things. And this is the background that you're coming to. So as we're in Jeremiah chapter 17, let's start in verse 1. It says, "The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron and with the point of a diamond. It is engraved upon the table of their heart and upon the horns of your altars, whilst their children remember their altars and their groves by the green trees upon the high hills. O my mountain in the field, I will give thy substance and all thy treasures to the spoil, and thy high places for sin throughout all my borders, and thou even thyself shalt discontinue from thine heritage that I gave thee. And I will cause thee to serve thine enemies in the land which thou knowest not, for ye have kindled a fire in mine anger which shall burn forever." This is the Lord speaking through Jeremiah. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would help us now to gain understanding of your word. Lord, give us the desire to allow your Holy Spirit to do a work today. Help us to see your truth and then apply it to our own hearts and lives. And Father, we'll thank and praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In this story, as you kind of read through the book of Jeremiah, the king is angry at Jeremiah for what he's saying, and the king has him put into prison. Then, later on, Jeremiah gets back out. The leaders are angry. Leaders meaning like the religious leaders are angry at Jeremiah for what he's preaching, trying to shut him up. They have him thrown into prison. So twice the guy lands into prison. All of the people of Israel have turned their backs on God. And Jeremiah is weeping because he is heartbroken because the children of Israel simply will not hear God's truth. And it is in that context that God begins to speak in verse 5. And I want us to pay attention to the next few verses. This is the message today. And literally, if you're an outline person, the outline is right here in the Bible. I'm not going to draw any other outline than what is right here in the Bible. Point number one would be the curse. Take a look at it. Verse 5, it says, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man." Let's stop. We're going to kind of give the sub-points under here. God says, first, this person who's cursed, this person who's going to find life difficult, this person who's going to find life a struggle, this person who's going to be constantly fighting against God is one who, first of all, trusts in man. The idea is that, you know, when we have an issue, we immediately fall back to other people to try to get us out of trouble, to try and rather than turning to the Lord and doing things God's way, we listen to what man has to say about it. We try to figure out what some guy over here or some person over here is going to tell us. And we put our faith, our confidence, our trust in human beings rather than the God of heaven. Anyone who is doing that is going to be walking this path that's going to lead them down a curse. You understand? It's going to lead them to difficulty, heartache in life. This is not going to work. For instance, you're battling debt. And so what's the way to get out of debt? Well, if you're the U.S. government, what's the way to get out of debt? Borrow more money. That's exactly right. That's why we are trillions of dollars in debt. All right, now, I do this about every 2 or 3 years, so I'll just kind of do this now and knock your socks off for a minute, all right? Those of you who have heard it 1,000 times, then you'll say, I already know this. So, 32, 33, 34, I can't remember exactly it is, years. You know what that is? 1 billion seconds. So if you're less than 33, you've not lived 1 billion seconds yet. In other words, it's like this. If you spent $1 a second, $60 a minute, $3,600 an hour, every hour of every day of every week of every year for the next 33 years before you spend $1 billion. A billion, right? Now, what is a trillion? 1,000 billion. So if a trillion is 1,000 billion, how many years would it take me at $1 a second to spend $1 trillion? 33,000 years. Our government will spend $17 trillion this year. Yikes. How? How can that even happen? It's hard for us to comprehend, right? And so, you know, it's a big deal. When we trust in men, this is the reasoning that it leads us to. It leads us to irrational thinking. It leads us down a path. I mean, literally, we can never get out of debt. You understand? I mean, we there's not enough tax money being manufactured for us to get out of debt in our lifetime. We literally are going to have to declare bankruptcy to get out of debt. That's what happens when you follow men's reasoning. Well, what if you're following men's reasoning in making your marriage work? Rather than following God, you're listening to what people have to say. People say things like this. Well, you know, we need to try out our marriage first before we actually get married to make sure that we're compatible. We start following men's reasoning. It leads us down a silly path. It doesn't even make sense, right? Or married people who say, well, you know, we, in order to keep our marriage fresh, we're gonna swap partners with people. You say, that doesn't happen, Pastor John. It does happen, and it happens right here in Indianapolis. It does happen. And so what happens is when we begin to trust man and man's thinking and man's reasoning, it brings a curse upon us. And that's what God's talking about here. This is what it says. Cursed is this man that trusts in man. And then it says, and maketh flesh his arm. In other words, now not only is he saying, I trust other people first and foremost, but now it's turning back to me, right? I'm going to pull myself up by my own bootstraps. I'm going to make of myself what I'm going to make, and it's all about what I'm going to do, and I begin to trust myself rather than trusting the Lord. I lean to my own understanding rather than trust, right? Trust the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. But when I begin to lean to my own understanding, and I try to figure things out on my own. Now, I'm going to tell you, I understand these statements clearly. I mean, I'm a human being, and quite honestly, if there's one problem that your pastor really struggles with, it's this right here. You know, I have a tendency to try to figure things out on my own and get backed into a corner before I finally fall on my face before God and say, God, can you show me what I'm supposed to do? I have a problem with just trying to figure this out on my own, to lean to my own understanding. And I'm guessing I'm probably not alone. But the Bible says when we do that, we're choosing a path that is walking us through a curse, a path that makes life difficult rather than easy. And so here's what this is saying. Cursed is the man that trusteth in man. Cursed is the man that maketh flesh his arm. And lastly, cursed is the man whose heart departeth from the Lord. So these three things, trusting in man, trusting myself, and ultimately leaving the Lord behind, leaving the Lord out of my life, going man's way or going my way, leaving the Lord out of my life, brings a curse. Look what the curse looks like, verse 6. For he shall be like a heath. Huh? There was only one heath, I knew. Remember the old, what was the name of that show? Big Valley. Thank you. I knew somebody would know it. There was a heath on Big Valley. Remember that? That's the only, I'm like, what in the world is a heath? Well, when you look it up, what it means is a man who is naked and destitute. He has nothing, not even a stitch of clothing to his name. This man has nothing, nothing to show for it. The Bible says this is the path that you're choosing. When you choose to follow men, when you choose to follow your own reasoning and leave God out of your life, what you're choosing is a path that is destitute, void of anything. And this destitute, naked man is walking around in the desert, a harsh climate, difficult for him to survive. And look what it says. He doesn't even see when good comes. I mean, he is so under this curse that when good things do come, when God tries to step into his life and be a blessing and help him out, he can't even see it. He's so wrapped up in what's going on over here. He's so under the curse that he misses the blessings of God. You know anybody like that? You know anybody that if they would just change their perspective a little bit, they could count their blessings instead of counting all the problems that they've got? But once we choose our own path and we're walking down the curse, this is what happens. We become destitute, in great need, and we don't even see when God is trying to help us out. But shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a, here's the strange word here, a salt land. The idea is it's a salted land, or it is a land that is dry and barren and offers very little to this person. So he's barren and destitute. He has nothing to speak of for himself. Even when God tries to be gracious to him, he's missing it. And the place where he is subjected to dwell in is dry and barren and difficult and harsh. And by the way, if your life is described as dry and barren and difficult and harsh, then maybe you're walking down the wrong path. Cursed is this man. But let's go on, because God gives you another wonderful statement in the next verse, verse 7. Blessed is the man. And when we get to this verse, you're going to say, I've heard this someplace before. You'll have heard very much like it anyway someplace before. Blessed is the man, what's it say? That trusteth in the Lord. It is the opposite of trusting in man. It is the opposite of departing from the Lord. It is the opposite of trusting in myself. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. I don't understand it, but here's what God says I should do, and I'm going to trust him that it'll work. It's like this. People will sit in my office often. And by the way, if anybody has ever sat in my office and this has happened, please, now, I'm not using you as an illustration. This has happened gazillions of times before you, and it'll happen again after you, I promise. Sit in my office, Pastor, we can't get along. We can't get along. We can't get along. Okay, well, I take in the Proverbs 15:1 every time, almost the very first thing I ever do. Proverbs 15:1 says, say it out loud. A soft answer turneth away wrath. That's what the Bible says. And almost 100% of the time, first words out of the mouth was, we tried that, and it didn't work. Oh, so God's a liar? That's the next words out of my mouth. So God's a liar? No. Okay, well then, you got to come to this point where you say, I don't always understand it, God, but I'm going to trust you. You say this works. I'm going to trust you. And keep filling in the blank with everything. It can be whatever it happens to be. It can be at your job. It can be at your house. It can be at your church. It can be with personal problems. It can be with your finances. But at some point, either we're trusting ourselves, we're trusting men, or we have to learn to trust the Lord. And blessed is that man who will learn to trust the Lord. Look what it says. And makes, or maketh, whose hope the Lord is. In other words, why am I going to trust the Lord? Well, because I don't have anything else to do? No. Because there's a hope. There's an expectation that God, who is not a liar, who cannot lie, that God is going to keep his promise. And that becomes my expectation, my hope, that the Lord is going to step in and change the circumstance. I can't control all my circumstances, but I can control who I trust. I can't control all my circumstances, but I can control the path that I choose to walk down. Am I going to choose this cursed path, or am I going to choose this path of blessing? Well, let's take a look at what happens in the path of blessing. Now, this is the part that you've heard before. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters. What does it sound like already? Psalm 1, right? Blessed is the man who walketh not in the path of the ungodly, stands the way of sinners, sitteth in the seat of scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law shall he meditate day and night. And he shall be, verse 3, like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Look at what it says here in Jeremiah. That spreadeth out her roots by the river. Now I can choose this cursed path, dry, barren, destitute, in need, and never seeing the blessing of God. Not that the blessing of God isn't there. I just don't see it. Or I can choose this blessed path. Now in this blessed path, I become like a tree planted by the river of water, and my root begins to spread out, and I'm finding sustenance everywhere. Do you see what's happening here? His root, her root, is spreading out and finding sustenance. Look what it says. Keep going. And shall not see what? Heat. Now, earlier, this guy who's cursed, he shall not see the good when it comes. But the guy on the blessed path, he doesn't see the bad when it comes. It's not that the bad doesn't come. You understand? It's just that his hope is in the Lord, and it doesn't impact him like it does the guy on the cursed path. The guy on the cursed path, he's not impacted by the good. God's blessing, and he's not impacted by it. He's missing it. But the guy on the blessed path, bad things happen to this guy too. Just like everybody else. But he doesn't see the heat when it comes. He's so focused on the Lord that the bad things just seem to roll off. His roots are always finding some way to sustain and to feed. He's planted by the river of water. And he doesn't even recognize when bad things are happening. Have you ever known somebody like that? Don't you just want to smack them upside the head? You know, I mean, you know, they just had a wreck. They step out of the car that they just had a wreck in, into the mud puddle, and right behind them is the police officer's light flashing because they had actually, it was their fault for the wreck. And they seem happy. What's the matter with this person? I mean, what's the matter with this person that bad things seem to happen to them and yet they seem unaffected? It is because their roots are not in a desert land. They've chosen the path of blessing. And so when the heat comes, it doesn't really touch them. But her leaf shall be green. She shall not be careful in the year of drought. Neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Nothing is going to stop this tree from bringing forth fruit. Whether it's heat, whether it's drought, difficult times are still coming this person's way, and this person is still enjoying the blessing. You see how it works? Blessed is the man that trusts the Lord. Cursed is the man that trusts in man. Blessed is the man whose hope is in the Lord. Cursed is the man who is trusting in himself. Blessed is the man who embraces the Lord. Cursed is the man who departs from the Lord. The question is, what road are you walking down? Now, I want to take you to the next two verses, because if it were just that simple, then we could say, okay, I'm going to make a choice. But let me show you the next two verses. Verse 9, three verses. Verse 9. This is the one you thought I was going to immediately. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I want to show you something. Why does God bring verse 9 up in context? We use verse 9 all the time, right? The heart is deceitful above all things, the desperate wicked. Who can know it? But in context, It is about someone choosing the road of blessing or the road of curse. Do you see that? And then right after that, God says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And I want to challenge this with a thought. I believe what God is saying is there are people probably sitting in this sanctuary who have convinced themselves they're over here walking on the path of blessing when really, spiritually, they're barren and naked and dry and life is harsh. They've convinced themselves they're here, but they aren't trusting the Lord. They're trusting themselves. There are people whose heart has so deceived them that they think they're okay. And in fact, you've been amening me all along and saying, boy, I sure hope so-and-so down the pew is listening. And the problem is, God's talking to you. But the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Well, look at verse 10. God gives us the answer. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. It's like David of old. Remember when David finally said, okay, I've got to deal with this. I, only I, have sinned against you. Remember what David finally says in that passage? Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me. See if there be any wicked way in me. God, I can't even understand my own heart. Sometimes I've convinced myself that what I'm doing is trusting you, but deep down I'm trusting myself. Do you think that there are going to be some people who think they're going to heaven that aren't? Because they've convinced themselves they're here on this path of blessing. But the Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, many in that day will say, Lord, Lord, have we not cast out demons in thy name? And in thy name done many marvelous works? And the Lord will look at them and say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. You've never been saved. Because while you thought you were trusting in me, you were really trusting the fact that you got baptized back there when you were 7. Or you were trusting that, you know, you've been good enough and you've done enough good things to balance out the scale. And you've misunderstood. The heart is deceitful above all things. And I believe that it can creep itself into the Christian life so that we think we're following the Lord and trusting in the Lord, but we're really walking over here. And everybody around us sees it. Your husband sees it. Your wife sees it. She knows that you're dry and destitute. That you're just a hollow, empty shell. There's no real life there. She sees it. Everyone around you sees it. But you've convinced yourself over here. Well, what's the answer? God says, I know. I know the heart. So the answer is like David of old, to turn back to the Lord. Lord, please show me where I'm at. Don't let me think I'm here when I'm here. And if I'm here, don't let me think that I'm okay being cursed. Or that this is... that somehow this is going to work itself out. This is a bad path to be on. And let's not be deceived by it. And in fact, look down at verse 11. Verse 11 tells us what happens if we choose to follow the deception of our heart rather than the Lord. I love this verse. As the partridge sitteth on eggs. There's some partridges over here in the neighborhood and... what's that neighborhood over here? Hoax, where'd you guys used to live? Bunker Hill, that's it, Bunker Hill. Back in the back of Bunker Hill, there's a guy that owns some partridges. No, I'm saying that wrong. What does he own? Peacocks. He has peacocks. So don't ignore the partridges. Partridges are the pear tree. He owns peacocks. I'll tell you the peacock story anyway. Because one day I'm outside, and I'm thinking, there's a baby crying, and it sounds like this kid is being tortured to the extent that, I mean, I was this close to calling 911. I mean, it was just like, wow, somebody is being hurt. And come to find out, it's these peacocks. They sound like babies crying. It's the craziest thing. Maybe these are partridges. Look what the Bible says about these partridges. Has nothing to do with the peacock. I just want to bring it up. This peacock sits on, or this partridge. Partridge sits on the eggs. Look at what it says. And hatches them not. Here's the idea. It's this poor bird that's sitting there waiting on an egg that is never going to hatch. And waiting, and waiting, and waiting, and waiting, and it's never going to hatch. Do you understand what's happening here? The idea is that God says, if you're allowing yourself to be deceived by your heart, if you're really walking over here in a dry and barren land and waiting for the blessings to come, you have a long wait because it's not going to happen. Look what happens. It says, so he that getteth riches and not by right shall lead them in the midst of his days, and at the end he shall be, or shall be a fool. His end shall be a fool. So here, the idea is, here it is. He's just sitting on the eggs, waiting for life to give him what he's worked for, what he's earned. He's trusted in himself. He's waiting for the riches to come in. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. This is that guy who's following deception. So God's trying to help us out here. God's pleading with the nation of Israel, please listen up. I want to help you here. You're choosing this dry and barren path, and I want you to be over here where the water is, where you'll bear a lot of fruit, and you won't even notice when the bad things come. But instead over here, you can't even see the good that I try to give you. And then do not be deceived. So where are you at today? What path are you on? And are you certain of where you are? Or are you looking through those proverbial rose-colored glasses, being deceived?